Okay, why don't we go on to the next patient, also from Summit, New Jersey. And Sophie, this actually is your patient. This 45-year-old woman who presents with abdominal pain, noted to have diffuse adenopathy and some splenic lesions and infarcts. Biopsy demonstrates CLL with transformation to diffuse large B-cell. So Dr. Morse, can you kind of bring us up to date on what happened with this patient and any questions you have for the faculty?
So this was an interesting presentation because she actually presented after a motor vehicle accident in September 2008 and was diagnosed with a grade 3 splenic hematoma. However, her abdominal pain progressed, and by December of that same year, she presented to the emergency room and had a CAT scan, which clearly showed a splenic mass as well as diffuse abdominal adenopathy. She then had an excisional biopsy of a left inguinal lymph node, which showed a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and then she had a staging PET CT and a bone marrow biopsy, and the bone marrow biopsy clearly showed that she had CLL.
Sophie, anything you'd like to see them discuss, the faculty?
So we treated her with 6 cycles of R-CHOP, and then the question was, what is the role of maintenance Rituxan in a transformed lymphoma? And then also, at what point in the discussion would you consider stem cell transplant?
So in a second, I actually want to come back to Neil and see if he has any questions about this case. But Stephanie, the one question that Dr. Morse brought up is something we hear a lot, which is not just the patient who's presenting with transformed CLL, but also the patient transformed FL. What about maintenance, Stephanie?
Yeah, I would move much more quickly into a transplant than maintenance. You know, maintenance rituximab in a transformed lymphoma has just not been studied. There's no evidence that there's any efficacy for it, and we know in diffuse large B-cell that maintenance rituximab has no role, so I don't think there's any evidence for that.
Myron?
I agree with Stephanie that there is no published data suggesting there is a benefit in using maintenance rituximab either in CLL or in the transformed lymphoma setting. What I also would point out, and I'm sure Jonathan's going to mention, I think in this patient, if they have a brisk response to anthracycline-based therapy like R-CHOP, that I potentially would give no other therapy at the completion of therapy. They were a complete remission. I would monitor that patient. Hopefully, they've eradicated the transformed lymphoma, even though there is a very high likelihood that the CLL will relapse at some time in the future.
Neil, any questions you want to see the faculty discuss about this case?
Well, so this lady, just to bring updated a little more, is that she had her stem cells collected. She did not get transplanted. And we did pursue maintenance Rituxan. The thinking is that this is a terrible disease with a high relapse rate. I don't think we'll ever get data in a Richter's transformation. And the risk-benefit ratio seemed to be certainly in her favor.
It's interesting when you get the actual treating doctors here to talk about the cases, the things are not as straightforward as when we just stand up here and say things. Matthias, would you like to weigh in a little bit about the issue of the fact that the docs are using maintenance in this situation?
Maintenance with rituximab transformed lymphoma, I would not recommend because clearly I have no data suggesting this opinion. And I also would follow up this patient in case of relapse. I would transplant him, and I would hope that only the CLL will be shown again in the future.
Myron?
Just briefly, rituximab used as a monotherapy in large cell lymphoma, if we extrapolate to transform large cell lymphoma, does not have a significant role or a significant activity as a monotherapy.
Can I ask the tumor board, were any prognostic markers done in the bone marrow on the CLL?
I believe all her FISH was negative.
And you don't know about CD38 expression, maybe the pathologist or ZAP70?
I don't believe that was done.
Okay.
I'd like to ask the two oncologists there whether they have any questions they'd like to see the faculty address, particularly about this case. Sophie?
I think we've been very fortunate with this patient. She's almost 2 years out and maintains a CR. And we had opted to collect her stem cells up front, but I wonder at what point in the process should we use them, and I'd love to hear the panel's opinion on that.
Well, before I ask Dave, I'm going to ask Myron how you would answer that question.
I would say that patients, as before we had the rituximab era, it was very difficult to obtain, say, very clean bone marrows. I mean, I don't disagree with collecting this patient at the time they had, say, essentially a clear marrow, but I wonder how clear it is. There's likely, if you really look at molecular markers, that this patient probably has residual microscopic CLL, which is the issue is that they're not going to die necessarily in the next few years to see how they're going to die from a transformed lymphoma if it relapses and that cannot be controlled. So what I would say to you is that I would not potentially transplant this patient, especially 2 years is very favorable that we basically extrapolate from large cell lymphoma. The majority of patients who, after achieving a remission after R-CHOP, the majority of patients who are destined to relapse will do within the first 2 years following completion of therapy. And this patient seems to hit that milestone. The other thing I would just want to mention just briefly is in the excellent review given by Jonathan was that I think a lot of the data was prior to the rituximab era, and that maybe the results also was worse, that this patient who got rituximab CHOP, I personally would be very comfortable just monitoring them until if they do develop a relapse. The most important point is to re-biopsy to determine whether or not it's transformed or the CLL.
So Dave, this patient comes to you for a second opinion now. She's 2 years out.
So I'd leave her alone at this point. But the question would be, when you first see this person, if they had previously been treated with a fludarabine-containing regimen, then I would have treated with R-CHOP and transplanted immediately. But in the case where they've never had any prior therapy, I would give the frontline therapy a chance to work if there was a PET-negative CR, which you had here, at the completion of therapy, just like a large cell lymphoma. So I agree with the management that you've done. I would have liked to have known for sure that they... What happened to the CLL? Was it in CR when you collected stem cells or not?
So we repeated her marrow prior to stem cell collection.
And it was fine?
And it was negative.
Negative, okay.
Okay, Jonathan, any more comments or thoughts about this case?
I think at this point, the chances that you're going to need to use those autologous stem cells are quite limited because the risk of the aggressive lymphoma coming back at 2 years, as has already been said, is low. You still have a now 47-year-old woman with CLL, and the chances that she's going to have a normal lifespan from that disease are very, very low. So I think that if you're thinking about some sort of transplantation option at this point, it would be following the next recurrence, and I think you have to think very strongly about an allogeneic option.
So we're going to go on and talk about mantle cell in a second, but just, Neil, I'll come back to you for one final comment or question about CLL and about these two cases you all just presented.
Well, I think a lot of this, it describes the heterogeneity that we have to deal with. We speak to a lot of these people when we first see them that this is an indolent disease, and yet we find that both these cases had pretty serious complications.
That's a good point.